All right. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Ships Across the Border. My name is Max. I'm here with Chris. And today we have on quite possibly the oldest person that I know.
That's not true. Jake is actually older.
No, Jake is definitely actually older.
But you've been, he took some years off of college. I'm so interested to hear the story. We have Aaron Sanchez on.
Soup.
Don't turn down any opportunity, whether it's a camp, a clinic, because you never know literally who's watching.
Make your own decision and stick with them and know they're the right decisions, right? And even if they aren't right, don't regret them.
He didn't know creatine existed.
So he got him some creatine, he's like, oh, yeah, lift heavy weight.
Ship across the border.
Ship across the border.
Ship across the border, man.
Welcome back to Ship Across the Border.
Aaron, just tell me about, like, how are you 25 and you're still here? I'm just so curious.
Before you do say that, though, I'm not going to lie. Out of all the people that I heard, like, when I heard Jake was 27, I'm like, I can kind of see that. When someone told me you were 25, yeah. I was like, holy shit.
If someone told me you were a junior, I'd be like, yeah.
Dude, he's a young soul.
Yeah, a super sure. young soul. But
no, I mean, like,
tell us about your journey.
All right, so not to cut you off, but so pretty much like I started 2018. I was playing at a school in Oregon. I don't know if I told y'all okay. Southwest.
You Oregon. Live in Oregon?
No, I was living there for like.
Wait, hold on. You started basketball?
Yeah, my college career.
Okay.
Yeah, my college career. I started there at 2018. I played for about like a year or two. I think like only for a year, and then I sat COVID year. And then I was trying to, like, get some, like, looks and stuff. So I sat for, like, 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Nobody picked you up?
Nobody. I was going to, like, visits. Like, I was actually going to schools and, like, talking to coaches and stuff like that. And, like, I just, at the time, like, sadly, I just wasn't getting picked up.
You were high school, so like, after your senior year?
Yeah, after my senior year, I went to JUCO out in Oregon. JUCO in Oregon. Okay. And then, I played there. I did pretty well. I probably averaged around, like, maybe 6 or 7 points. Okay. That was not that bad. Coach didn't really like me though, so like mm-hmm. that's why I kind of wanted to transfer. But yeah, and then that happened. I couldn't really get none, so I was pretty much just living out in Oregon. Pretty much, like I had to get a job. I had to like live the the adult life.
Did you have an on campus place to stay or like no?
Because
you
yeah, I did, but like when COVID hit, I kind of just like. Didn't go to school anymore there. So I kind of stayed with my buddy. Like, he had, like, his parents. I got close with them. And his parents let me stay with them and, like, just, like, let my life just build up. Because they knew that, you know, I had a lot of potential. And they didn't just want to, like, let me go back. Because I kept telling them I just didn't want to go back to New York. Like, you know, it felt like it would have been, like, a horrible, like, move for myself. I would have just been like my other friends that I had, you know. Like, just been in the streets doing dumb shit and, like, yeah, it's not something I want
to do. So how do you end up here? Did you immediately go from that situation to Elms?
Or? No, so then after that, I went to Mohawk Valley. It's up in Utica.
New York?
Yeah, Utica, okay. New York. So I met, coach was pretty cool. They gave me
opportunities. How'd you get recruited there first?
My AAU coach, my mentor, he'd been with me for like years and like.
Your AAU, you played AAU as a 23-year-old?
No. Like, growing.
I don't know your story, so I'm trying to, like, a lot of moving parts over here.
No, I'm talking
very
about
untraditional path. So your AAU coach from high school?
No, from high school. Okay. So growing up.
But you were still rocking with him?
Yeah, I was rocking. Okay. He came, that's what I'm saying. He was my mentor, pretty much. Like, okay. He was, like, he was the one that would, like, help me get schools out in Oregon to go to visits and, okay. like, meet others, you know what I'm saying? So, but. After that, like, he was the one that, like, got the school. Because I told him, like, I wanted just to strictly get schools in Oregon. And he was pretty much telling
Why
me.
Why Oregon? Why was that the spot?
I don't know. Like, you know, when you get, like, life experience and you go other places, you kind of, like, just love the new environment. Like, you know.
Buffalo, New York.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely not.
You don't fuck with Buffalo, New York?
Bro, it's Buffalo, New York. What are we talking?
It's fucking Buffalo, New York. I would rock with Buffalo, New York, bro. I would do anything absolutely, to go back to fucking
Buffalo. Absolutely not. Fuck no. Fuck no, bro.
Maybe not the place, but the people there. You can.
That's completely different.
Okay. Continuing.
But yeah, and then he gave me the opportunity. He hit up the coach there. I told him, he was like, yeah, I think you just should look at schools in New York. And I was like, all right, whatever. Let's just make the move. And yeah, he hit up Mohawk Valley, and they were like, yeah, we'll take you. Craziest part, they had a player in that school who was 24, just like my age.
Okay.
But he was raw as fuck. Like, if I'll show you him, he was stupid raw. So I'm telling you, it was beyond raw.
Like 7-footer that can't make layups.
No, like he was no. He was 6'7", can handle the rock. Like,
oh, he's like raw, like nice.
Like yes, okay. Like so nice.
My definition of raw is like last year we had a 7-footer who like couldn't make layups. Like his talent, the skill was like the natural potential.
Oh,
was there,
I get what you're
but his skill set was raw.
Like Sam.
Yeah, exactly. Sam's raw. Pause.
Yeah.
But I mean, yes.
Wow.
But yeah, he gave me an opportunity to play there, and yeah, but he's
play well.
I played pretty well, like in the position I was in, you know. But yeah, the team, we ended up being 27-5 for the whole year, ranked fifth in the nation.
Why the fuck did you leave?
I mean, I didn't leave because I was my only, I had to do one JUCO year.
Mm-hmm.
And then
after he played his first JUCO year.
Yeah, so I didn't want to waste my years just staying there. And then after that year, I had a couple D3 schools around the area, and Elms was one of the schools that like was wanting me like the most. So mm-hmm. I like visited him, and like he was just like, yeah, we're like, yo, like, we'll take you. So I was like, all right. And then I kept it in my ear, and then, like, had other schools, but for some reason, son just, like, drawn me to here. Like, I don't know why. So I was just like, oh, and I also met, you know, oh, shit.
Fuck it.
But
we're live right now. We have two guests. Shout out Key, shout out Tajay.
Shout out Key, shout out Tajay. Y'all don't know. Y'all know. But, yeah, so, like, he drawn me to come to Elms and, like, yeah, I'm here. You know, obviously not the age of other players, but it was a long journey.
Everybody's on their own path.
But listen, man, like, this is how I see it. College is a grown man sport. You're going to have 28-year-olds. You're going to have fucking 27-year-olds. Like,
everybody's definitely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody's path is especially different.
Especially from doing this pod. Like, that's one of the biggest things.
Yeah, like, you know.
It's usually the best teams are never like a team full of freshmen. No. Yeah, so it's like, always like 50 returners, guys who've been there definitely. For their entire career. But branching off something you just said right there, I kind of want to get into like, because during the tryout process, that was extremely stressful for him. And I'm wondering, was it stressful for you to come in here and see 45 dudes in the gym and knowing that like your spot isn't exactly secured and like you're going to have to fight for the next week, 2 weeks to get a spot in this team? Was that stressful for
3 months, bro? It was like months.
Yeah.
I mean, to see that, yeah, like, especially, like, I came late. Like, I didn't even come when the times that, like, you came. Yeah. Like, I came, like super late. So I didn't even see the runs, like, the pre-runs just when the guys seeing guys. Yeah. So, like, when I heard it, I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I'll be real, I really couldn't believe it. But then when I actually came, and then I saw, like,
runs, you got 17.
I was just
running.
Like, wow. Like, I'm gonna be real, I was just like, damn. I hit my coach back at JUCO. I was just like, God, like, it's like 40 different guys and like trying to try for a spot. Like, I didn't know it was going to be a trial. Like, you know, he was telling me he gave me a spot, and it was just like, he just kept telling me to ride it out. Like, just keep going. Like, you're going to make the team. Mm-hmm. Like, you just do what you did at where I was at, like, before, you're going to make the team.
So you weren't stressed at any point?
At some points, like, as I realized, like, first couple of days, I was like, nah. I was like, there's a lot of dudes here that's not better than me. So I just kind of took it in the chin and was just like, if I just play how I play and, like, bring it every game and, like, every, like, tryout, I was like, yeah, I'll be good.
You were talking about, like, a really rough patch you kind of had during that COVID situation. And I'm wondering if you could go back to that moment where you were, like, out of basketball for a couple of years, struggling. Why did you keep going? Like, what was the thing? Most people, like, there's probably a lot of people out there who are like, fuck it, I'm done, I'm gonna lace it up.
Almost everybody would.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, why?
Hey, man, just like anybody else would have, like, a why, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just.
What is your why?
I just wanted to, like, I don't know, like, I feel like I hadn't got the opportunity at any school to, like, excel where I wanted to be. Like, in high school, I had so many accolades, like, I played against so many great people who are already in the league. Like, so it just felt like I was kind of, like, left out. Like, I was watching so many of my friends, like, commit to so many places. And, you know, sometimes when you see that, like, you kind of just have, like a thought in your head. Like, you just start to reminisce. Like, think of yourself in that picture. And like, I'm not gonna lie, that's kind of what drive me. Like, I just every day like wanted to see myself be like, yeah, I'm gonna post a day of me committing, like, or I'm gonna post a mixtape like of me being in the college team. That just like drive me every day. I was like, you know what, like, cause I worked at Home Depot and people were coming to me like, why you working at Home Depot? You're like, you're supposed to play a sport. And I used to like hit me, and I thank God every day because I don't know if you guys know who Super Handles is. But
that sounds really familiar.
He's a great trainer. I blessed to meet him. I wouldn't be here probably without him. Like, I'm gonna be real. Like, he kept me like going. Like, he would come to make me come to the gym 8 a.m. knowing that I had work at 8 p.m. So I was kind of like just messing with my sleep because I want to wake up at 2, 3 a.m. Yeah. And like, he would just want me to come work out and just like keep me in shape. And like,
how'd you meet him?
My boy Tanner, like I said, like. I met him from my JUCO in Oregon. He was like my brother, you know, like his family just like, you know, did so much for me. And like, he made me meet a Super Handles and we just worked out together as much as he could because like he had a job and stuff. So he didn't really take basketball serious as much as I did. But I stay highly motivated, bro. Like, I'll be real. Like, it's not easy said than done, but.
But you were debating quitting at that point.
Debating quitting 100%. Like, I ask myself sometimes, like, was I even good enough? You know, like, I reminisce and look at like other highlights of myself and be like, and can I still do that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, can I do that at a higher level? And like, sometimes it would hit me. Like, I would cry, you know what I mean? Like, I'll sit there and cry at myself and like, just be like, why me sometimes? But like, I don't know, like, I just felt like my life that I just couldn't give up. Like, like, giving up was the last thing for me to like, do. Like, I feel like it's easier to give up than, like, than just...
And hold the pain of regret, yeah. Because then you're going to be 80 and be like, shit, I wonder. Like,
I would have wondered what I could have been, you know what I mean? So it's like...
I feel like those moments of, like, perseverance with no... Like, when you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you keep walking, and then, you know what I mean? I feel like those moments of, like, choosing to, like, keep walking is such a powerful, like... Such a powerful thing. Such like a powerful and like, helps you like grow. You know what I mean? Like, as a person, like just pushing through, and then just like not seeing the light, and then eventually like start to see a little bit of light, and then it just motivates you even more. A question that I had is like, how do you feel? Just like the environment, like your roommate. Obviously, we talked about before, but like Austin doesn't stay on campus much. Yeah. But like Austin's 18, you're 25. Like, what's the dynamic of being in the environment with people that are not really around your age? You're kind of older. Like, how do you feel? Like, how does that environment kind of, like, affect you?
Like I said, like, I feel like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I've been around that my whole life. Like, kind of, like, I've been, like, kind of, like, almost the oldest person. Because, like, starting from my whole life, it's just, like, even with school, like, I started school late. So, it's, like, a lot of things just happened, you know what I mean? Like, when I started school, like, I was kind of, like, a year older than certain people. So, it's, like, I kind of just got used to, like...
Being the oldest in the room.
Yeah, being the oldest in the room. Like, and I used to get bullied for it, but then I kind of just took it to the chin. Like, this is how God kind of, like, wanted me to be in life. And I'm going to just take it, you know what I mean? But, I mean, like, well, Austin, it's cool. Like, I'm a type of person, I know how to, like, you know, just be myself, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the biggest thing, is just... Letting them know that no matter what age you are, you're going to be yourself. Sure. And that's going to make them the most comfortable, I feel like.
Are there some lessons that you couldn't see as, like, a freshman in JUCO that you picked up along the way that help you now?
Yeah, bro. I'm going to be real. Like, some lessons I would say if I was not to be a dumbass or a dickhead, like, not to be, like, so, you know, profanity with the words, but, like, that's just the way I can say it, you know what I mean? Like, I just felt like I knew it all, you know what I mean? Like, because, like, as I started the JUCO, like, I'm starting, you know what I mean? Like, not a lot of freshmen are going to start at a college level coming in at 19 years old, you know what I mean? So it's like, I was kind of cocky with it, and I kind of felt like I had a chin over my shoulder, and then, like, as soon as adversity hit me, I was kind of just like, whatever, like, I didn't really work hard enough. I didn't put shots in the gym. I didn't really put the work into it, and it showed in the court. And then when it showed in the court, I just kept, like, dropping and dropping and dropping.
So you would say, like, to your younger self, you would take it more seriously. Oh, yeah, like, one of the things we talked about in the show is like, you don't gain confidence from shouting affirmations in the mirror. You gain confidence by having an undeniable stack of evidence that you are who you say you are.
Yeah.
And it's like in those moments of adversity, it doesn't sound like you were sure of who you were as a person. And you didn't have any of that work behind you to like prove to yourself that you were good, as good as you should be. Or as good as you should be.
100%. 100%. That was 100% well said. Like, I felt like I didn't know who I was as a person, not just on the court, but off the court. And that kind of like reflected myself as a person in my character. Cause like, I felt like if I would just been more of a better teammate, just a better leader, and just a better person off the court, I feel like things would be much more better for myself in the long run. Mm-hmm. I mean,
moving away from that, so your basketball career almost ended at one point. If it ended tomorrow, would you be satisfied with the ending? Like if it just tomorrow, an angel came down and said, you can't play basketball anymore, or you're going to get shot in the head or something. Would you be okay with that, like where you are right now in your career? Would you be okay just sealing the book?
Like I have to seal the book?
Yeah, like would you be okay with that, like moving away from basketball at this point?
Nah.
No?
Why? I just don't feel like I don't know how to put it to word. I just don't feel like I've reached the point that I wanted to reach. Mm-hmm. Like I just still feel like I'm still growing. Like, even though I'm 25, I still feel like in my game.
25 is still young.
Yeah, like
we joke.
But yeah,
25 is still young.
Yeah, I'm still young, but that's what I'm saying. Like even though that I'm still that age, I still feel like I have a lot of room in myself to improve. And that goes for anybody. Like, this is a lot of room. Even though you feel like you're there, like, there's always room for improvement. And I just feel like I have a lot more to improve.
So do you feel like the book will ever, like you'll ever be okay with leaving basketball behind? Like every moment, like, fuck, I should have done more. Or like,
yeah, I feel like there's always going to be that type of feeling where it's just like, you're always going to have that type of feeling. Yo, I wish I should have just done more. Like, you know what I mean?
So like outside of basketball, what do you want to do with life?
I mean, I don't know, man. Like that's a tough question. Like, what do you mean? Like far as just like
a job or like a career? Like, what's your plan as soon as basketball's over?
I mean, my plan, like, I mean, I guess it's just, like, shit, like, just to get, like, a normal job. Like, I mean, nothing crazy. I'm not really looking forward into, like, being something so, like, big. You know what I mean? Like, because my focus, like, I'm real. It was just really was just off basketball. Like, I never really had, like, a plan B. And that sounds bad to say it.
Worked out, though.
But it's working out right now. Mm-hmm. But that's just, like, the ultimate goal. Like, just to.
So you want to go pro?
That's 110%. 110%. And I feel like I have the ability to go pro and I have the potential. And I feel like if I just keep, like I said, keep growing and keep applying, I feel like I'll get there, man. Like 100%.
I'm just curious, how does like all the, I guess, life experiences that you've had throughout your basketball career, whether it's in JUCO, whether it's the time in between or the rest of your basketball career, and then now you're kind of in that position where you're like the older person in the locker room. You're like the veteran voice. Like there's been a lot of times where, like, let's say we had a bad loss or a bad practice. Like you'll be in the locker room or in the classroom and just be given wisdom and like just like, no, I don't want to say like a motivational speech, which is something like, you know what I'm talking about? Just like, I guess like giving wisdom and like trying to encourage guys. And how does what you've experienced in like in the past and in your previous basketball career kind of impacting you now and helping you become a leader on the team?
So, like prior JUCO, like, my last JUCO, I kind of was, like, I can kind of say I was, like, a leader there, like a vocal leader. Like, I felt like, even, like, high school, I just been that type of person where, like, I felt like if I wasn't being vocal, it just wasn't my being myself. I was being down to the team. Like, I felt like my voice was, like, was very helpful and was very engaging to others, like, I felt like I had a nice meaning to it. So, like, even, like, when I did it in JUCO, I just always, before a game, like, even if it wasn't playing good, and I knew guys that were really good and they weren't playing at their potential, I would come up to them and tell them inside, like, hey, like, come on. Like, I know you could play better than this. Like, I know you could shoot better than this. So, like, I feel like that carry on from there, it just, like, now since, like, you know, I mean, we haven't really run many games. But, like, just having that still, that motivation and just that in the back of your mind, like, that's really good because like, if it's it's not, if we don't have no vocal leader, then it's like we're all gonna have our heads down. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't know how certain guys, because it's younger people, older, younger guys. We have freshmen who are 18, so like they probably never had like vocal leaders and stuff like that.
I was gonna say that like my freshman year it was a shell shock. The difference, because like coming from a tiny ass town in Canada, you don't really have guys who are leading the team, and like even practices, like the level of intensity and the vocal, whatever vocal level, is like so different when you get to college basketball. It's like you guys screaming on the sidelines, you have guys screaming to get into drill. You just everything you're communicating at all times for the full 2 hours and during the games. It's really different, and like for a freshman coming in, it can be a way different environment.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was gonna ask: is there any specific lessons that you learned throughout your career that you've kind of helped teach someone that's younger than you this year? I feel like you're like, especially like when I think about guys who are like pulling guys aside. Like yesterday after the game, you were talking to Addy about like, because Addy's a great player and you're expecting him to get more rebounds. He had 2 rebounds yesterday. And, like, we need you to, like, he's obviously younger than you. He's a junior, but at the end of the day, like, you're untraditional junior or senior, however old you are. So has there like what young lessons have you learned throughout your basketball career that you've kind of helped to try and instill in somebody else?
So, like, I would say is, like, because I've been in my career, I played in so many roles. Like, I've been, like I said, I've been the star. I've been the absolute role guy who comes in just to do one thing. And now I've been the guy who just, you know what I mean? Like, I've had it all. So, it's like, I feel like for a younger guy who's coming in that is just trying to find their knack or trying to find something to, like, make themselves known in their team and they're not known right now, I feel like it's just find one thing in basketball that you can do well, that you know you can do. Like, if that's the assisting or that's, like, getting a rebound, pushing the ball, if that's, like, bringing intensity in defense, I feel like if you bring it every single day, somebody's going to see it. You know what I mean? And that's what I can say speak for myself, because I didn't really show my whole package in scrimmage in the tryouts, but I knew if I applied myself just to rebounding and doing it every single time, I felt like that was outside myself, and coach would really he'll see it. So I feel like just sticking to one thing, not trying to do too much, just sticking to one thing that you can do and practicing it, and just. And once somebody notices it, then you move on to the next, and you keep adding your package. And as soon as later, you're gonna become a complete player. And I feel like having that process is key, because especially knowing that if you're just in the bottom of the rotation and you know you can't, you're just coming in trying to earn minutes. Some guys usually will come in and just try to, like, all right, I'm gonna come out and just score. Normally, that's not what the coach really is typically looking for. You know what I mean?
They already have a score.
They already have a score. So it's like at some point, you got to bring something that score isn't bringing all the time. And once you bring it and you add something else on top of that, you have an advantage over that person.
We talked about that a lot, how, like, in basketball, it's always better to be great at one thing than good at a bunch of things. Because mm-hmm. it's like, if you're good at a bunch of things, you're going to be replaceable. Because, like, oh, we have a great shooter. We have a great ball handler. Yeah. So, like, we don't really need you on the floor. Like, mm-hmm. what can you do to make someone need you on the floor?
Yeah, and that was my biggest thing of coming into Elms, like, was just sticking to one thing. Like, I knew I had worked so much throughout my whole career on my legs and trying to be able to be so athletic and working on my shot and my handles. But I knew if I, like, stick to one thing, I knew I was going to be good. Like, I knew something was going to be good.
So what do you think, what is your biggest strength as a player, and what is your biggest weakness?
My biggest strength as a player, I feel like, I would say, like, driving.
That fucking post spin. The post spin going right on the baseline is your biggest strength.
No, yeah.
As someone who's watched a lot of Aaron Sanchez post spin and ones.
Not yet. Most, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of like all over the place. Cause it's like, if you will watch my tapes, you'll see that, like, my last year I was shooting. Like, I was strictly knocked down, like, shooter. Like, but then it's like, here it's like I play post play. So it's like, my biggest strength, I feel like, is just having a motive. That's just me. Like, I don't feel like me having with the handle, the shot, all that. I don't feel like that drives me to, like, be who I am as a basketball. I feel like just having a high motive and being, like, hyperactive and, like, aggressive, I feel like that drives me. Because, like, I don't know, like, when you, I don't know if when you're watching the game, when I get the rebound, I'll be screaming and stuff like that. That, like,
fuck out of here, I got it.
Yeah, like, that's, like, that's driving me. That's bringing me energy. So now I can sprint and get, you know what I mean, get a layup. So, like, I feel like that's my biggest thing.
We have played with guys like Jovial. He's probably not going to watch this, but, like, he was one of those guys. He was, like, a really lengthy defender, and he couldn't really shoot the ball. But, like, when he got it off the thing, like, he got the rebound, he was just going. And, like, he could go down full court, miss a layup, and then chase down block. And he was just up like, and down the whole time. And that's, like, it's infectious. It's, like, the rest of the team wants to play like that, too, now.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That makes other players want to play
like that. And your biggest weakness?
My biggest weakness is, I would say, shoot, man, is staying consistent. I would say
it's a lot of people's weakness.
Like, I feel like that's my biggest thing is, like, I think too much, and I feel like if I just go out there and play every time without even thinking, the game just, like, actually flows through. Like, some games in the season, like, where I just played without even thinking, like, there was plays where I did, I was like, oh wow, okay, all right, let's go next play. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I do that throughout the whole season, I feel like I'll be good. You know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest thing is consistency.
Basketball is one of those weird things where it's like the harder you chase it, the harder it runs away. Yeah. And then when you finally stop chasing, just let it come to you. It's like you sort of just exist in the game. Jake talked about that too a lot in the game where he's like, I just exist in the game and then I'm hitting shots and it's just like I'm not really trying, but like you are. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's
and
weird.
That's
a flow state.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by like that'd be I there'll be some points where I do things where it's like I felt like I didn't move as faster, but in the video when I watched the film, I moved really quick, and I got it off. So it was like that's what I'm saying. Like I feel like I just don't think in that motion. My mind sees it in slow motion, but outside is really in fast motion.
Yeah, Kobe used to talk about that too, where it's like the harder you try to force it, it's like if you get really mad, then it's like you're fighting your instincts almost. Mm-hmm. You're playing outside of shit that you don't normally do, and then you hear that whistle go off, and now you're going to the bench. It's like just counterproductive.
Why do you feel like your game has changed a bit? You said you in like at your JUCO. You're coming, you're blicking, you're coming in, hitting shots. And then I feel like the first run where I ever saw you play, you were knocking down shots like crazy. You had an and-one three, I remember. Like, I remember you were there too. I think you were watching. You're like, who is this guy? I've never seen this guy before. And then he was just coming, cashing out. So why do you feel like your play style has kind of changed? And not to say you're not succeeding, because you're 100% succeeding in other areas. And you've been one of our most consistent guys putting the ball in the basket, rebounding. I think you're having a very, very good individual season. But why have kind of like your strengths kind of seem to change? Why do you think that?
I don't know, man. Like, that's a tough question I'll be asking to myself sometimes, bro. Like, I don't know. And then my family members ask me all the time, like, why do you limit yourself? Like, you know you can shoot the ball. Like, you shoot it at a high rate. Like, why are you, like, not popping out? And I don't know. My body and my mind is just, like, so, like, I don't know. It's kind of like if I'm a robot or something. Like, I just kind of, like, when something's set in my mind, it's hard to, like, get dwell out of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to go out and shoot a three. Then when I shoot it, my shot feels weird. So it's like, I don't know. It's that's a tough one, bro. Like, I be asking that myself all the time. And, like, I be trying to fight out of it and try to, like, be at some points. Because, like, even when I be real practice and I'll flare out to the three-point line, my body feels weird. Like, spotting up, like, it just feels weird.
Was it you or Addy who said that he was, like, a foot inside of the three-point line and he hit it and he was like, it's a good thing that he wasn't, like, a step back because then he probably would have missed it? Like,
I said that, but it's about RJ.
It's about RJ?
Yeah. Bro, RJ has a 99% deep two.
That fucking fake hand off.
That deep two. Bro, yeah, I was me, bro, because if it was a three, he would have missed it.
Probably.
It's the deep, RJ deep two is best shot Elms basketball can get at this point in the season.
Nah, yeah, but
I relate to what you're saying a lot. I feel like I'm in a similar boat, but the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I was like, I feel like in my career, I've done more than just shoot. I've, like, as y'all have now become aware, like, I can get up a little bit. I'm a little bit athletic. Like, and I have definitely shown flash, like, being able to get to the rim.
He cannot dunk.
Insert the clips.
I will. Why do you say you can't dunk?
No, I'm not. I know you can dunk. I'm just trolling.
Like, I can bring it up. He was like, yo, he definitely can't dunk.
No, I know you can dunk.
Nah, who was the first hater? I think it was, like, Jake or, like, Jaden.
I never doubted you. When you first time you came up to me, you like, you think, Aaron, you know I could dunk, right? I was like, yeah, I seen your videos. Like,
but
you think I can dunk?
Fuck no. I can't even touch the backboard. But, let me answer that for you.
Thank you for answering.
I was going to be like, you could probably, like, maybe, like, get up and, like, you know, miss maneuver? It. Yeah. No, no, like miss like a couple times.
Nah, I used to be able to grab the rim, but no. And now I'm 215, there's no fucking way. Yeah,
what I was saying though is I feel like I can do more. But I feel like when I came here, like I already had in my mind that like realistically all I'm gonna be is a shooter and like that's what the team needs and that's still what the team needs. But I feel like I put it in a box, like open gym. I wasn't really like I was playing in a summer league and like I'd had games where I had 30 plus and like I didn't shoot the ball. I was probably like 2 for 9 from three, but I had 30 on getting downhill and finishing at the basket and getting to the line and stuff like that. I feel like I've gotten away from that. It's just like a mental battle of like you feel your strength right now, getting to the basket and finish and like opposite rebound and stuff like that. And like you feel like you're fighting that. It's a mental battle. It's frustrating because I feel like I can do more as well.
It definitely is frustrating. Like, and like, there'd be some games where it's like I feel like. Like, I should have shot, like, maybe faded out, shot a three-pointer. But, like, I don't know. Like, in the games, I still feel like I haven't got the opportunity to get, like, a drive, kick, swing, wide open three yet. Like, I feel like...
playing in the post, so it'll be kind
of
hard.
But, like, there's sometimes where I've been where, like, we'll run sets and I'll be out in the wing. And, like, I'll be, like, ready. And it'll be sometimes dudes just won't want to give it to me. They'll just drive all the way in. And I'll like, come in at this point and then they'll give it to me. So, it's like... I don't know. I feel like I haven't really got an opportunity.
Were you like coming off screens in JUCO and like the shooter? Yeah,
I was coming off like two screens. Like I would get like a fade back, like a flare.
Yeah,
I would get flare screens. Like I was.
Did you have like a shooting like routine that you like getting in work?
Yeah, my coach, we had some shooting drill. We would just do, like, 5 spots all around.
But, you're, like, something that you kind of got, like, have you kind of gotten away from that as your kind of role and stuff has changed here?
I mean, like, I still put up shots, but, like, I kind of came to the, like, conclusion where it's, like, I'm not going to do things that where it's, like, right now, we're, like, 11 games in. I'm not going to...
Your role's pretty much set at this point.
Yeah, like, I've shot 2 3-pointers in a year already, like, coming from where I've shot in a year of 37%, like, so it's, like, I'm at this point where it's, like, all right, my role is, like, kind of where it's, like, I'm just going to keep trying to attack. I want to work on my mid-range shot because I have a mid-range shot. I can shoot mid-range
You've been
shot.
Getting that catch-and-shoot baseline work. Mid-range.
So it's, like, I feel like if I just stick to that and, like, that will open me up. And it'll open up other things.
One of the things I've noticed, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is like how college basketball forces you to like cut off a bunch of your skills. In like terms of like a tree, if you had like a really solid base and some roots, and you had all these little branches that you've been working on, like maybe you have a little bit of a handle, college basketball forces you to just cut those branches off or cut it off for you because like you can go out there and like you're a shooter and you're fucking here to play defense. And if you try anything else, either it's going to get stripped, like it doesn't work. You try to go outside of your game. And if you don't have the self-awareness to do that, the game will do it for you.
Like, yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it's really different because it's like, you're playing with somebody who is like coaching you. So it's like, it's not like you're playing out there freely with nobody in your ear telling you what to do. So it's like, you also have to realize like there's that as well. And like, it's hard. It's tough. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I try to tell my brothers that all the time that like, because they'd be looking at me like, oh, like you got to go out there and just, like, get 20, 25. I'm just like, it's not easy as you think because it's like I'm playing under a system that a coach follows, and I have to follow it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I have to score within that.
Yeah.
And it's like this is my first year playing in it, and it's like I got to adjust from what I just played in to playing this. So it's like. It could be difficult, you know what I mean?
A lot of kids don't realize that. They think, like, I averaged 25 in high school. I'm going to come in here and just drop, like, 20 a game, and then I'm going to be a starter and all that shit. Yeah. It's like, if you aren't used to playing within a system and, like, this coach – let's say you did just go outside of the system. You started shooting dumb fucking shots and everything, and now you're on the bench. You're like, why am I'm the best player here. It's like, well, you can't play in the system, so now we can't put you on the floor because this is how we've been winning. This is how we've been playing for the last 10 years. And it's almost like spitting in the coach's face when you're sitting and you're not playing the way he wants you to play.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And then, and that goes for, like, any level. Like, if it goes from Division III to Division II to NAIA, like, that's just how it's going to be. Like, you're just going to meet a coach where it's, like, you're going to have to play that system. It's very rare where you meet a coach where it's, like, you're like, yeah, like, I don't care about what you shoot.
That's
like,
a losing program.
Like, it's very rare. And, like, and if you're in that program, then, again, hey, man, like, salute to you, because then you're going to have, like, a great film, but you're not going to be winning.
Yeah. That's the first thing I can think of about that is, like, Buff State. It's, like, you'll see, like, all these guys, crazy highlights, dunks, like,
done, like everything, like dropping guys, and then like you look at their record and they're 0-25, and it's like
one,
damn.
One, and guess who that W was against?
Fuck you.
Oh, you went.
No. They played Madai and we played like shit. We shot 12 for 35 from free throw.
We were the like, only team they beat all year. They were 1-24, and we were the one
because we shot. We shot.
My AAU coach was gonna send me to go to Boston as well.
You probably would have been able to jack your threes, but you probably wouldn't want to win.
They had a bunch of guys who were like really good. They were just fucking swing, ISO. Yeah, all they did was
But what I was going to say about what you just said is like, I had the same conversation that we just had about like playing in a role and stuff like that in a system with one of my best friends, Mac, who was like, would have been like an all rookie team in the Empire Ray. Like,
1,000 point score in high school.
1,000 point score in high school, but like either started or like one of the first guys off the bench as a freshman at Madai last year. And he transferred to a different school, the Empire Ray. And he was struggling. It's like, it's weird to go from one system where you're used to getting your shots in this way. Now you go to a completely different system that's a lot more robotic, a lot more like the coach has an emphasis on the system. And he wasn't getting much burn because he's a hooper. He's going to take 1, 2, 3 too many dribbles and take a step back shot. And he's going to hit them at a high clip. Yeah. But it's like a coach who has a system of pass, cut, replace, drive, kick, swing, isn't really going to like a guy who is taking tough shots and making tough shots, but then they doesn't fit in his system. So I kind of had a conversation. I'm like, yo. And he sent me a clip. He's like, yo, look how tough this was. Like, I'm like, I really wanted this bucket. And it was like in a game. I'm like, bro, that's probably why you only played 4 minutes, is because you shot a baseline step back jumper. And then we had a conversation about that. Just I'm his boy and I was going to hold him accountable. And like, I'm just going to let him know, like, you have two options. You can either keep hooping in your 4 minutes and keep doing you, and some shots are going to fall, some shots are not. But if you want to increase your opportunity, make the best of it, kind of got to play to his rules. And he started to kind of play to his rules, play a little more simple, play into the system more. And he saw his minutes slowly increase and increase and increase. And he just had like 15 points last game and played like 20 minutes. So I'm proud of him. But if you're a young hooper out there, work on shots that you're going to get in the system, because there's no point in working on shit that you're not going to be able to do in the game. So, like, for example, me and Chris, we had an offense called Wildcat last year, and we would get in the gym after practice at night, and we would just work on shots in that system, whether it was off a pin down. Or, for example, like, I do this showtime. Me and Chris used this at the beginning of the year with, like, work on shots, like, coming off side or coming off away, or, like, all these different shots that I would get in practice or in a game in our system, and those help you and make you more confident to shoot those shots in practice and in the game.
Okay, because we just got the 5 minute mark, we're gonna ask the last two questions here. This is from Sam. So basically, we've been doing this thing recently, which I completely stole from another podcast, but I like it. Is where the person who came on before asks a question for the next guest, even though they don't know who the next guest is gonna be. Mm-hmm. And Sam left this question for what happens to be you. How do you deal with pressure in anything?
That was a good question, Sam. Shit, with pressure, I just deal with it. Like, I kind of like just, I don't second guess on it. I don't be like, oh my God, it's so pressuring. I kind of just like, just embrace that it's happening right now and just go through it.
You don't fight it.
I don't fight it.
Usually the mistake people make where it's like, I shouldn't. One of the things I heard from Kobe before we asked the last question is like, he said, those who like fight anxiety, you're giving it more power when you're saying, I shouldn't feel like this. Yeah, I shouldn't feel like this. Where it's like, no, this is part of the process. This is how I should feel. This is okay. And then it just goes away.
Yeah, that's kind of how I see it. Like I feel like the times that I did do it the wrong way, like, that's kind of what happened. Like, I kind of just like, wow, like, my body was just like, oh my God, like, why did I just, like, you know what I mean? Like, I should have just like went straight to it. Like, I don't know why I didn't, you know what I mean? So I feel like at some points where I just go for it and just like no second thought, just run straight to it. I feel like the result normally comes out like how I was envisioning it, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's the biggest thing. It's like, don't run from it. You know what I mean? Because it's will haunt you, 100%.
And the last question is just like, what's one piece of advice you give to your younger self? Or you kind of already answered the younger self. Or what's just one piece of advice you give to a younger hooper who's trying to be a college basketball player in high school right now, or maybe even younger?
Just stick to it. Don't give up. And just keep striving to be in your better self every day. You know what I mean? Don't try to fit into any other outside groups. Don't look just because one person's better than you right now. You think you're not going to be in that boat. That just means because right now, their future is hitting right now and yours is still waiting on. And that's how I see it. I feel like you just keep going and you keep pushing, things will happen. 110% sure. Because that's how my life went. I'm 25 right now. It's been a long journey, but the journey ain't over. But like at the point where you keep working, something out of that journey will come out green. 110%. 110%.
What's going on,
appreciate y'all, man.
Thanks for coming on.